and share about my ministry in India and a few things from the Word of the Lord. So this time I have brought my wife, and this is the first time she is here. And since we all speak the language called Tamil, it's very hard for her to understand English. If you speak American English, if you speak British English, maybe she will understand. I don't know. Because we were ruled by the British people, and still, you know, we learned everything in Tamil language in our state. So first of all, I would like to introduce her. She's Esther Beulah Rani. I call her Rani. And Rani means queen. She's very proud of it. Okay. Every now and then. Every now and then I have to remind her that my father's name is Paul Raja Durai. Raja means king. So I tell her, you may be a queen, but I am the king of the house. So it's a story how the Lord provided to me. I was 31, and in India it's very hard to find a girl for a 31-year-old man. And one day I went to a house. Those days telephones were very rare, so I wanted to talk to a pastor. So I asked my friend pastor, can you find a place where I can talk to the pastor? He took me to a house, and as I was talking to the other man and the friend of mine, the pastor with me, he said, hey, look in. I just looked. There were two faces, and I asked him, why did you ask me to look inside the house? Do you see the girls? Yes. Would you like to marry the one behind, the one who is standing behind the other one? I don't see her face very well. Just tell me, would you like to marry her? I said, is she a Christian? He said, yes. Okay, I want to see her. So next day they arranged in such a way that she came to visit her sister, and they have had to fetch water from a well. And as she was going to the well, I was already sitting there, not from 5 o'clock, but I just went there in time, and I was waiting to see her, and she was coming from the well. And now the pastor's wife said, "Hey, Rani, come here." She was walking like this. She was holding the pot and walking. And when she saw me, the whole thing changed. And she put a shy on her face, and she came there. And every now and then, she was looking at me like this. After the marriage, I asked her, "Yeah, what made you to marry me?" She said, you are so handsome. But after marriage, I lost all my hair. Yeah. And when I talked with pastors in India, as you know, even now we have arranged marriages. And so it was just like that. And before I got married, pastors asked me, what kind of girl you want? Do you want one who will be with you all the time to a minister? I said, no. One who is working? I said, no. One who is working and wants to resign and come out for ministry? No. Then they were surprised and asked me, what kind of girl you want? Tell us. I said, I have a long timepiece in my stomach. 8 o'clock it rings, 12 o'clock it rings, and 6:30 it rings. Someone who can hear that alarm noise and provide me food, that kind of girl I want. So we got married. After marriage, the first day she asked me, what can we eat? I said, go and cook something. And she says, I don't know cooking. So So usually in India, when people get married, the bride has to give a huge dowry. And I told my mother-in-law that I'm not going to take one rupee is Indian money, 1 rupee as dowry from you. So she was very happy, and the Lord blessed us with 2 boys. One is 34, and he is living in a place called Bangalore, which is about 300 miles from our place. And the other boy is still living with us. He is 27. And many times I told him, better you go and find a girl for you, or help us to find a girl for you. He says, no, because Mama is so good to him. Mama's food, Mama's breakfast, Mama's lunch, Mama's supper, Mama's bed. Mama gives nice bed, washes his clothes. So he says, I would rather stay here than marry a girl. So that's my family. And as you all know, that in one of my trips, I shared about how the Lord called me for his ministry. So God has blessed us so much. And so far I have started at 13 churches, and I am in the process of starting one more church in a village. And my work is not in these towns and cities. My work is in the villages. So the Lord has blessed me with pastors who are very faithful to the Lord. And the churches are like 150 people, 100 people. Some churches are still 40 people. So that is how we are ministering, both of us ministering in India. And before I forget, let me tell you that the pastors with me and the church people in India asked us to give their thanks and greetings to you all. Now, these are the pictures I brought. These were taken in 2016. And the first picture you see is the first picture you see is how we conduct gospel meetings. How we conduct gospel meetings. And usually we go to your place and go to the head man of the village, and I go tell him that, sir, we have been to different people and they all said that you can only help us. So, did they say like that? Yes. What do you want? We want to have a meeting for 3 days. And you are the only one who can help us in the whole village. Oh, he's happy. He says, why 3 days? Have the meeting for 4 days. That is how we begin. And usually, we take the oxen cart and sometimes benches from different houses and tie them together. That's our stage. From there, we preach. So this is one of the meetings I preached in this meeting. And the next picture, you will see one more meeting. And there are cows there. You don't have that here. It's a sight to see. When we came out of the airport, Chicago, my wife said, it's boring. What? America is boring. I asked, why? No people walking on the street. No people running across the street. No stray cows. No stray dogs. No car or no trucks are making noise, ping, 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 ping. And she said, after she came to Madison, she says, there is no bus at all. In our place, at least 100 buses are there every day. She said, it's boring. About all, everywhere we went, she said, I want a sweater. I want a sweater. And she has about 7 sweaters now. Because somebody told her, you will freeze to death if you don't have sweaters. So I had to buy 7 sweaters, and I don't know how many sweaters she has to buy, and I have to buy a suitcase for it. So this is how it goes in the villages. That is an, it's okay. And here, after the meeting, we invite people to come forward. Sometimes we have people who are possessed by evil spirits. And the next picture, you see the woman possessed by evil spirits, straying, they act strangely. They wail, they shout, they scream, they reel, and they roll. Sometimes they slither like a snake. It's frightening to see. But by God's grace, many of them were set free, and some of them have become church members in our churches. The next picture you will see. After that, you know, someone gives, I give an altar call, and people lift their hands up, and when they lift their hands, there will be about 20 people. It doesn't mean 20 of them are willing to give their hearts to Jesus. So we have to collect them together
we will ask them, one after another, what is your need? You want to give your heart to Jesus? No, I want to be healed. What about you? I want to be healed. Finally, we'll see two or three people who really want to give their lives to Jesus. We don't baptize them immediately because India is different. So we will have a class for them, whether it's one or two, three or five. We will talk to them about Christ more, and then we will make them to understand what is the cost of following Jesus. Because if in India, if one becomes a Christian, especially in our places, most of the people, I should say 95% of the people in our churches are low caste people. So the low caste people live together in one place. The high caste people live in one place. So they will not mingle together. And I'm not going to repeat what I have mentioned earlier in one of my trips, how the caste system came into existence. Anyone wants to hear about it? Caste system? If you put your hands up. I have to see the majority. So, I will briefly mention about that. People called the Aryans, you might have read in the history, Aryans who were living beyond Himalayas. They were nomads and they were taking care of cattle. And they wanted to find a flourishing place, beautiful place to raise their cattle and sheep. So finally they came to know through the merchants who are going to Afghanistan from India through the two bypasses in Himalayas. And they came to know that the northern parts of India are so beautiful. So they came into India through those two bypasses and settled in the north. And they are very clever people. I should go to the extent of calling them cunning people. And they came to India was ruled by indigenous kings and queens. Maybe they will have 100 miles by 20 miles, one king. Another 40 miles, one king, one queen. So they went, penetrated into the courts of the kings and queens and told them, we have come here with a creation theory. And they said, when God created human beings, the first time he created them from his head, and the second time from his arms, and the third time from his thigh, the last time from his feet. So it's not biblical, it's not from the Bible. They created it. They developed the theory. And the kings and queens were convinced. And they questioned them, who are we? Kings and queens, soldiers, where are we? Head, arms, or thighs, or feet? They said, the first, we are from the head. We have the knowledge and wisdom of God, so we can be the priest in your country. Then, people who are from the arms, you are the people. You are kings and queens and shoulders. You've got the power of God to fight and win battles. And then the people from the thigh, they are people who can go and start Kmart and Walmart and JCPenney. And they are business people. They are business people. And the people who are created from the feet, they are servants to these three castes. It's not class, it is caste. So they were made to serve these three. And even if a low caste man goes into a village, it's not in the cities no more. It's no more in the cities. If you go to the villages, you will see the low caste man. If he walks on the street, he will take the turban and tie it around his waist and take his sandals in his hand, bow down and walk. That's how they are treated. So the low caste people are the downtrodden people when the British came to India. Also the British ministers came to India, missionaries, and when they started the work in the villages, these downtrodden people, since they did not have any hope, they wanted to embrace Christianity, and that is why we have most of the Christians in India are low caste people. So now, if I give an altar call, and if I take few people, when they give their hearts and talk to them about Christ, if one or two come forward, that means they are going to face the consequences. They will be shunned out of the village. They will not have anything to do with the villagers. They will not be allowed to participate in the weddings, other things. And it's so bad. So we will talk to them about the cost of becoming a Christian. Then they say, yes, we collect 4 or 5 people or sometimes 10 people and take them to one of our baptism tank. We have a baptism tank in 3 churches. So the nearest church, we'll take them and baptize them. This is one of the churches. That place is the office of the church. And next to you have the building of the church. So in the next picture, we see I'm baptizing here. And these are the people who were baptized in 2016. And the next picture, we'll keep on moving, please. And next picture, few more baptized, and one more group, another young people group, another group. And this is how we baptize people. This is another church. We have the baptism tank. Actually, this is not the baptism tank. When we built the church in concrete, we stored water there, and we thought, why not we convert it into a baptism tank? This is a baptism tank, and all the people stand around. And then we see one more picture. This is inside a church. Men are one side, women are the other side. I was thinking of doing it today. The next picture, please. So this is another church. The members of the church are around us. I'm sitting there with my wife. And then the next picture we see. This is how we plant the church. This is not actually a church building. This is just a shed. It takes about $150 to $200 to start the work there. We put a small shed. And if we have one or two people there, we invite them to come on Sundays. And we send one of our men from the little bigger churches of our church to go and take care of them. So we will be doing the work for about 1 year or 1.5 years. When we get more people, like 30 people, we build a better shed. And then when we have 80 or 90 people, depending upon the funds, we try to build a concrete church. And the next picture you will see. This is also an outreach. We started a church here. Not all the people you see there are the members of this outreach. There are few people. Just to encourage those young people in the Lord, other people came, other church members came and sang songs and encouraged them. The next one we see, this is another church inside the church. And next picture we see, this is another church, and we are building a wall around it, and then we are going to clean the inside. So because nobody lives there in the night time, those who do not like Christians, they come and drink and do all sorts of things there. So to protect the church premises, we are building the wall around the church. Those are the trees you see, are the coconut trees and the mango trees there. We have about, not about, we have 6 trees, mango trees. What a juicy fruit. And this is a time of engagement. During engagement, we won't see many people in the church. And this is one of the time we had the engagement. And then the next picture you will see.
What's that called again?
Engagement.
Betrothal.
All
2 people getting
engaged. Yeah. And this is child dedication. And maybe the one previous because. Yeah. This is a picture of a betrothal or engagement. So the boy brings all the gifts for this girl. He brings a sari for this girl. My wife is also wearing a sari. It's a nice thing to see how they wear. It's a 60 yards in length. If the church is at 10 o'clock, we have to leave at 8:30 because our churches are about 40 kilometers or 50 kilometers away. So running, I put my pen, I put my shirt, no coats, no tie there. Running, I'm ready. And now she is in the dressing room. Wrap around. Then she takes the one end and just a kind of frills she makes and then tucks it inside her. Okay, that's a salary. she's with the salary, she gave him a suit, and he's in the room, dressing room, and he will be coming afterwards. These are the gifts, fruits, Indian sweets, all kinds of things here in small baskets. And the banana usually will be one bunch of banana. That's a banana there. And after that, we will have marriage. Next one. No, Pastor, the previous one. Previous one.
Okay.
And here,
soon after
they print the wedding invitation, they bring the invitation. The first person to receive and pray is Paul Daniel. I don't know why they think Paul Daniel has to pray for them. So they come with pounded fruit, grapes, and different fruits and sweets with invitation. And that is the invitation. You will see the picture of the girl and boy there. Usually, nobody prints like that. But if you just turn to the fourth page of this invitation, you will see 60 names. Uncle's name, aunt's name, grandpa's name, niece's name, nephew's name, cousin's name. All the names will be 60, 70 sometimes. And during the wedding, most of the people are Hindus, there will be a quarrel outside the wedding hall. My name should have been printed number 3. Why did you print my name in the 5th place? Oh, I'm angry. Just like that. So my prayer is that at least every month we should have 2 engagements so that so many things to eat. And the next one, please. And this is the wedding. And the boy is standing with me, and the girl is standing with my wife. And the next one, please. Every year, we collect people's children in the villages. It will be just for one evening. And, apart from Sunday school for them, every Sunday we have school. But not all the children will come there. We will have about 40 children. But we just invite them for a kind of function. And we give them eatables to them sometimes. And usually there will be dramas as kids and things to attract the children. The reason why the villagers have sent almost all their children to the meeting is they have found out that after sending the children to our meeting, they behave well. They are obedient to the parents. They do very well. So they are very careful to tell them, go, but don't go. That means go and participate, but don't go to the church. Don't give your heart to Jesus Christ. We cannot baptize anybody without the consent of the parents if the person is below 18 years. Mm-hmm. So some of them used to cry and Sunday school, and we waited after they became 18 years, we baptized them. The next one, please. And we also have a widows project, and every month we support widows during Christmas time. We give them saris and the clothing set. We have selected few widows in every village and we give them money. This is in one village. And the next picture, another village. Yeah. Sorry. No problem. Another village. Now, one more picture. Another village. Widows. These are the ones who come to our church, one of our churches, and every day we provide them food to eat. They come to the church in the morning and they have their food and they have that, and they talk and they spend time at the church, and in the evening they go. And this is my ministry. And the next picture is this is the saris. You put them in bags to take to your village. And so these are the bags which will hold about 10 saris. Yeah. And the next one, please. And last year, I was here, and then I left Chicago on the 3rd of December. And before that, my son called me and said there is a flood. And there was a flood 3 feet in the house. And then, for a while, it was there, and then the water went away. And suddenly, I received another call, and my son called me and said, there is water 7 feet in the house. So that is the ground floor, you see here. This is the ground floor. So this picture was taken across. My son is on the top of the house and he took the picture. This is the ground floor and this is the first floor. And I lost about 2,500 books which I've been collecting for the past 40, 45 years. And my son was, when we had the flood for 3 feet, he was able to save some of the books. You know, he thought some of the books are precious. So he was able to take them to a different place. And but soon after that, he could not save all the books and our clothing, our kitchen items, refrigerator, everything was in chaos. We lost it. And I had the reason is that the heavy rain is not only the reason, but they store water in a big lake to provide you drinking water to the city. This lake is close to our place. And the water was racing and racing, and the engineers who were maintaining the dam, they called the chief of the state and said, "We are in danger any time it may break." So the chief of the state said, "No, we need water for summer." So it went up and up. After 3 days, they said, we are not going to, you know, stop it. We are going to open the shutters." She said, "Okay, do it." All of a sudden, they opened all the shutters. The water just gushed out. We went to the airport, pushed the aircraft about 500 feet from the runway. And I was not able to fly into my city, so I had to go to Bangalore to my son, and my son took me there. Everything was smelling, and the next picture, you will see some of the books, not all the books, they are the same thing. Some of the books, I couldn't do anything. This is, one more picture please, next one. A few more books. And I couldn't do anything. Some people said you can use the hair dryer and rope. No, it was stuck and it was smelly because of the rainwater and gutter water. So I put them in bags and then the next picture you will see, I rented a small tiny van and put them all there and sent it to the dump yard. But the good part of that is the next picture. These are the dear ones I love there. And the man on the picture on the left side is called Pastor Joseph. He's a nice man, sincere, hard-working man. These young ones, whenever we had a problem, they are the ones who pray. They are the ones who ran to our house. All of them came, and my son is there, extreme right. And all of them came, and we joined together and cleaned the house. And because of that, both of us got sick for about 15 days. We were bedridden. May God's grace, the Lord, you know, healed us, and we are here. And that is what has happened in 2015, January, to that time we left. Do you have any? I don't know if you have any other picture next. Yeah, this is the construction we are doing now. So, this is, the flood was up to here, and now any time the flood will come. So my son came, and the other picture you saw, the pastor, his wife is a teacher, and she came with the money, and she said, "Pastor, you can use this and give it back anytime you want." I said, "In my present condition, I cannot give it back." She said, "Even if you don't give it back, it's okay." But I told her, "I will give it back when the Lord provides it." So with that money, we were able to put a room on the top, and it is in the progress. And please pray that the Lord will help us. I'm not requesting you just pray for this house. No, it's secondary. But for us to build one more church in the coming years so that the Lord may be glorified. And we have both problems from the central government and the state government. They are trying to prohibit and they are trying to stop our preaching. And some of the pastors were put in the jail. And few were killed in the northern regions. So kindly pray for us.
Yes, Pastor. Thank you very much. We don't care because the Lord is our shepherd. He knows where to take us. He knows how to do things. We need not struggle. I always used to tell people, you know, the nice picture we have about the church and the people of the church, we are sheep. The good part of sheep is it doesn't think. I don't know whether it's the right word to call the sheep as dumb animals. One time we were coming by car, and my son was driving the car. And I said, come on, stop the car. I see the sheep coming. There was one sheep. Stop! He thought, it's okay. See, he hit the sheep. And after the sheep, there were 10 sheep coming. Good thing he did not hit all the other sheep. But the sheep do not know. They don't have instinct like goats. So the Lord is telling us that he has given the name sheep because he is the one who thinks for us. He is the one who does for us. He is the one who fights for us. Many times I used to think, do I have power to speak? No. Power to pray? No. Power to fight? No. These are the three important things. Number one, power to speak? No. The Lord said, you are not the one who speaks. The one who speaks for you is the Holy Spirit. It is not actually the church preaching. When you are taken to the Sanhedrin or Council of the Jews, you do not know anything about what they are doing there. Then the Holy Spirit will stand by your side and speak for you. The word comforter in India, some of the pastors say, comforter means putting a baby in a cradle and singing a lullaby. I tell them, no. The exact meaning is one who stands by your side. Comforter means one who stands by your side because I do not know how to speak, what to speak, when to speak. He speaks for me. I do not know what to pray. The one who stands by my side, he knows how to pray. So according to the word of God, he prays from within me. And I do not know how to fight. He fights for me. Those are the three important things which a sheep need. So, particularly when you are reading this, two verses came to my mind about which we read in John's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 27 and 28. Nobody can pluck you from my hand. And then he goes further in the next chapter, verse, he says, nobody can pluck you away from my Father's hand. So we see two hands there. Because Jesus said, because I do things that pleases my Father, he never lets me alone. Both my Father and I are together. So when Jesus saves us, he says that you are not only in my hand, you are in the hand of my Father. Okay. Now, the three places that came to my mind when you read the chapter is this. Number one, the sheep and the shoulder. Number two, the sheep and the hand. Number three, the sheep and the bosom. Three things came to my flash in my mind. Number one, sheep and the shoulder. Jesus gave a very simple illustration. A man had 100 sheep and he lost one. So he went after the lost one. He found it and took his ears. Will you go away again? Bam! Will you go away again? Bam! 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 No. He thought, what's the use of beating? Let me take this and put it around my head, shoulder. So he took the lost sheep. I do not know whether it was from the bushes or in, I do not know, maybe a hole. He took the sheep and put it around his neck and walked back to the, can anyone say, back to the sheep? No. It's in Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, verses 1 to 7. He took the sheep to his house and he invited his neighbors Come on, I lost my lost, I found my lost sheep. Come and have a cup of coffee. Nice coffee prepared by Paul Daniel. I always bring my coffee from India. I don't know why I don't like coffee here. I don't know. I like my coffee, and every morning I'm the coffee maker for my wife. Morning she gets up and says, "Did you make coffee?" So all the people are inside the house, and he takes the, it's not in the Bible, I imagine it, he takes the sheep in his hand, and he says, "This is my lost sheep, and now I have found. I brought it on my shoulder." And someone asked the shepherd, "What did the sheep see when he was on your shoulder?" Ask the sheep. "Hey, sheepy, what did you see when you were traveling on the shoulders of the shepherd? What did you see?" The sheep cries and says, "I saw that crown of thorn on the head of my shepherd." It is not an easy job to bring the sheep from the lost place. He died on the cross of Calvary with a crown on his head. And that crown was not the glorious crown, but that was the crown of shame. So as the sheep was traveling, I don't know, 1 mile or half a mile, I don't know, it was on the shoulder of the shepherd, and all the time the head is shaking like this, and it was seeing the shepherd's head. Number two, the sheep is in the hands of the shepherd. The first thing you see here is, when you see the sheep on the shoulder of the shepherd, you see the provision of the Lord from the cross. But now it is transferred to another place, which is the nail-pierced hand of the Lord. And the second experience is that we see the protection of the Lord. So we see the provision of the cross, and then we see the protection of the sheep. It is so tightly held by the nail-pierced hand of the Lord. And also the hand of Jesus is held by the hand of the Father. In other words, let's imagine like this. This is Father's hand, or Christ's hand. This is Father's hand. So he says, "I have drawn you in the palms." So, I don't know what your Bible says. My Bible says, "I have drawn you," as a picture. But that's not the right translation. "I have engraved you." So, if you write something, sometimes people write, "I have to buy half and half milk." So, by the time you go to wash your hand, then half and half is gone. So, Jesus does not want to wash his hand. "Okay, you are saved. Now go and live as you like." No, he just takes, in India, if you are going to your wedding, and you go to the shop where they sell nice utensils, you know, and they buy a kind of brazen pot, and they will go to the entrance of the shop, and there is a person sitting there with a small hammer and a chisel. So you give him 10 rupees or 20 rupees, Indian rupees, and tell him, "Presented by Paul Daniel." Ting, 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 ting. So all through their life, till their death, when they see that, they will know that it is presented by Paul Daniel. You cannot wash it away. So now in the same way, he has engraved you. Now, how is he placing us? He is placing us like this. Paul Daniel, my son. Oh, my son, then the enemy comes there. Paul Daniel, be careful. Paul Daniel, enemy is gone. Paul Daniel, my son, enemy is there. Paul Daniel is covered so beautifully, tightly, securely in the hands of both the Father and the Son. And the third place is, in the Old Testament we read about shepherds, they are just images or pictures or types or shadows of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the real shepherd. In one of the Old Testament scripture, we read about in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 1 to 4. When David committed a sin against God, God sends a prophet by name Nathan to him. Nathan comes to King David and says, King, I want to tell you a story. What is the story? There was a man in a street, and he had just only one sheep, and that is an Eve sheep. And he had the sheep in his bosom. And every time he comes home, he will sit down and ask the sheep to come and sit down on the bosom. And now he is having a fresh bread in his mouth. And the bread is hanging from his mouth. And he is looking at the sheep. He cannot speak, because if he speaks, the bread will fall down. So he says, boom, 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 boom. But that means I'm holding this end and you start eating from the other end. That was the first thing Jesus spoke to Satan. Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So now I am in the bosom, and the fresh manna, the fresh bread, is just hanging from the mouth of my shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. I am in the bosom enjoying the bread. I always think about that. Sitting in the bosom of Jesus, my Savior, and enjoying the heavenly bread, His word. So Jesus died, we all know. He rose again, we all know. He went back to His Father, went back to the bosom of that. Went back to the bosom of that. I forgot. Please, went back to the bosom of His? No. He is seated on the right side of the Father. And Jesus is, this is my imagination. Jesus is asking the Father, 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 I used to be there in that place. Why are you making me to sit down on the right side? Then I hear something from the mouth of the Father. That bosom is now reserved for my church. That seat is reserved for my church. Jesus did not only sacrifice His life, Jesus sacrificed His place for me. I am in the bosom of the Father. And now Jesus is here, and the Father is here. In other words, I could say, go to the extent of saying that the Lord Jesus is here, the Father is here. In Psalm 16 we read, I always keep my Lord on my right side. The psalmist says, who is the Lord to David? The Lord is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And if Jesus Christ is on the right side, who is on the left side? The Father is on the left side. Because after the resurrection, Jesus went up and was seated on the right side of the Father. Then Jesus is here and the Father is here. Where am I? Here am I. I am in between the Father and the Son. Sometimes when my older boy was a little boy, he used to, Dad, can I come in? He comes to our room, and there we are lying on the bed. He just comes and finds a way between us. You know, he pushes her this side and pushes me this side. And now he says, can I stay here for 15 minutes? 20 minutes? Okay. In the same way, the Lord Jesus is here and the Father is here. I am in between. But where is the Holy Spirit? I'm talking about now, not about the future. Where is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is within me. So what a nice place the sheep has got. Now it is in the midst of the Father and the Son. And now the Holy Spirit is here. When the disciples came to Jesus and asked Him to teach how to pray, He said, Heavenly Father. Then He said, in another place, He said, if you ask anything in my name, it will be given to you. So the prayer begins with Father and ends with Jesus. So then where is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is the one who builds the words of prayer in my life. So I begin the prayer in the name of the Father, and I conclude the prayer in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit is leading me in prayer. So the Lord is my shepherd. Once I remember one time I shared Psalm 23 here. I don't know why the something connected with the sheep and shepherd, the portion was read here. I didn't know about that, what you are going to read, Pastor. Only after coming here, I said, well, every time I come here, why sheep and shepherd? So, the sheep has three important places. One is the shoulder, where you find the provision from the cross. The next is in his hand, where you find the protection of the Holy Spirit. Number three, in the bosom, where you enjoy the presence of the Lord. That is where the sheep has to find its destination. The destination is the presence of the Lord. When we dwell in the bosom of the Lord, I always call Moses as the bosom man, because Moses always wanted to be in the presence of the Lord. That the first place given in the life of Moses was God's presence. So one time he said, God, if you don't come with us, let me not go. Then the Lord said, do you want to see me? Yes. No man can see me and then live. So I have a place for you. I have a rock here. And if you go and hide yourself in the rock. And he looked at the rock. There was a cleft in the rock. And he went into the cleft. And he was there, and the hand of the Lord covered him, and he saw Father God walking in front of him. Though he could not see, he followed the Father God, and he was safe in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the only rock for us, and the Holy Spirit was shining in his face. Do you get it? He wanted to see God, and God had another plan. He said, you will see my back. Why, Lord? You have to follow me, and you follow my back, I will take you. Then where am I? I am in the rock. Who is the rock? The Lord Jesus Christ is the rock. And where? What is the cleft? The cleft was from the cross. A soldier came and pierced him so that I can find a place in the very heart of Jesus. And when I come out, I shine. What is that shine? Shining. Who made me to shine? The Holy Spirit makes me to shine. So the shepherd had found three places for the sheep. The place of provision, the place of protection, the place of presence. May the Lord God bless you to find and experience all these three places. If at all there is anyone, I know all of you are church members, but if there is anyone who has not yet experienced the shoulder experience, you know, if the Lord Jesus Christ seeks after you and he wants you to come to his shoulder, you will receive his salvation. If you are a saved man or person, all that you have to do is to go and place yourself in the hand of the Lord. If you have experienced that, the next final is this. You go and hide yourself in the very heart of God. Three more experiences, I quit. Number one, when we come to the Lord and accept him as our Savior, everything is gone, we become new creature. That is first transformation. The second transformation is, Romans 12:2 says, renew your mind and be transformed. That is the second transformation. And the final one we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18. Through the Holy Spirit, you are transformed from glory to glory. So we have three transformations. One, the transformation that takes place on the shoulder. Everything old gone. Everything is new. The second one is the hand transformation. My mind is renewed. I am transformed. The third one is the bosom transformation. The Holy Spirit changes to the very image and likeness of the Holy, of the Lord Jesus Christ. When He appears, when He comes, we will be transformed and be with Him. May the Lord God bless you.